Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Kelsey. Oh, it's a good feeling in church today. Glad to be here. And yeah, I love the gathering. I love the fellowship. I love the worship. It's all good, man. I was reading something about a poll that some Pew poll or whoever they are did and asked people who go to church regularly why. Why do you go to church? Good question, huh? Why do you go to church? Well, 81%, it was the top category, 81% said to feel closer to God. I think the second category was to give our children a moral, you know, upbringing or something like that. Why do you go to church, man? To get closer to God. You know, if there is a God, it sure would be a good idea to get closer, right? I mean, if we were just thinking logically, if we're these beings who live and there's this other being who is so far superior to us that actually created us and has, you know, no beginning and no end, and will hold us accountable at the end of our lives. It's like, well, it sure would be a good idea to do whatever you could in every way that you can for as much as you always can to get closer to that being, that God. But guess what? There is a God. There is a God. And he made himself known. He communicated himself to the world. He showed us that he was God. And he came and he revealed himself in the person of his son. And he was here among us. He stood on this planet. The creator God, this being that's out there in the universe, was on the planet. Prophesied, confirmed by miracles, raised from the dead, established in the heavenlies. Oh my goodness, there's a God. Planet Earth has a king. Yeah. And of all the places we should be this morning, it's where we can get closer to him. To find out his heart, to find out his will, to get to know him, to ask what does he want, what do we do, how do we, you know, walk through this life in a way that at the end of our lives, we don't realize, oh, oops, got it wrong. But instead, we walk with the knowledge of God and the heart of God and the power of God. Oh, my goodness, you guys. Oh, my goodness. We're in the right place this morning. We are in the right place. Holy Spirit, come and bless our hearts and just reveal to us what all that you want to do with us. That we are this being, this God, this creator of the universe. We are his treasured possession. Wow. His children. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, touch our hearts this morning. In your name, amen. So one of the things that I did then when I saw this survey was that I began to think, well, okay, so what would be the reasons? And I just began to Google a little bit, you know, well, reasons for going to church, right? And of course, I found somebody who had 99 of them. And so we'll start with all of those today. And we'll actually bring the barbecue into you. No, we're not going to do that. But, you know, just kind of looking at those and thinking in my own, you know, my own thoughts. And you know, someone said the reason for church and the reason to go to church is because it's a place for truth. It's where we can all get together and we can understand who we are, right? Like, who are you? Well, I'm Barb Kleckner. I'm not, but you are. Right. See, I'm already confused. I need to go to church. And, yeah. You know, we know, it's like, who are we and whose are we? Like, who are we and what claim does this alien being who created everything, what claim does he have on us? And what is he looking at us and saying, this is what I require of you? This is what I require of you. I created you. You're accountable to me. And you know what? It is so hard, isn't it so hard, to understand, and it seems like more and more, what's true. What is truth? There seems to be this, as someone put it, an ethical fog. Right? This ethical fog, and it's like somewhere a light has to shine that says this is truth. This is truth. And so we've got... on the political level, we all know that truth is becoming optional, right? On the right and the left, Truth is optional. I have an agenda, and I want to make sure that I get my agenda through, and I don't mind lying about it in order to arrive at my goal. Right? So the end justifies the means, right? I can lie to get to the right place that I think is the right place, whichever place I want people to go. And it's like, you know, we really are increasing in our need for what is actually true. And you don't come to church to find out what Pastor Tom thinks is true. All right? You come to find out what God thinks is true. And my job is to convey to you what God is saying through the scriptures so that we continue to have this solid foundation, this rock that we stand on, so that when life itself and politics around us and all of the people in the media who are really tools of politics, political tools, right? And how can we in politics use the media as a tool to manipulate the people so that they'll vote for us so we can keep power? And this whole thing's going on, and it just seems to really be just, rampant. And so it's like, oh, Lord, bring us back to truth. Bring us back to truth. Help us to hold on to truth. You remember the great example of the guy on a surfboard, right? The guy on the surfboard is out there in the ocean. He's looking at the shore. He's waiting for the good wave. And all of a sudden, there's a guy on the left and a guy on the right, but he hasn't moved. But all of a sudden, he looks on the shore and he doesn't recognize anything. Okay? You know, you don't recognize anything. It's because there was a tide that was pulling you along, but it was also pulling the person on your left and the person on your right. So, relationally, you saw no movement. You know, I'm always this far away from him, I'm always this far away from him, but all of us are moving. And because all of us are moving, we don't notice it. But you look up and you've lost your point. It's like, I don't recognize this anymore. And that's what happens in culture. We drift, it says in the scriptures, it says we drift. And we drift along, going in a direction that we don't even realize we're going in because we don't feel like we're changing. Because everyone around us is going with us. And there's got to be an anchor. The boat has to have an anchor. The compass has to have true north. There's got to be a truth that we keep coming back to. And praise the living God who provided for us because he knew that. This was not a surprise to God. God isn't surprised like, oh, I told them the truth and they're forgetting it already? This is not a surprise. He's saying, I've got to do something, and I will give them the gift of an anchor and something that can hold solid and just be truth for them. And where else, you guys, where else? When you've got politicians, you've got media who are all biased, you've got teachers professors, I'm talking about the professor level in colleges, that have a grand bias overall. And it's like, and those are the people, and it's like, where will we hear somebody just saying what's true? Where will we hear the truth? You guys, it's coming down to the church. It's coming down to the church as the last place that's lifting up. And even churches are beginning to slip and slide, you know? It's like, gosh, if this is our only anchor, you guys, if this is our only thing, we can't slip and slide with this. We can't start getting, you know what I mean? Because then it's like, okay, now we've got nothing. And then it's like, we're going to drift, but nobody's going to know it. And there's got to be somewhere where we hear the truth. And I think that's one of the, if there's any reason at all to go to church, it's because when you go to church, it doesn't matter. Rhonda and Birgit recently went to Ireland. She was just telling me they went to the smallest church in all of Ireland, right? It was just teeny weeny little church. But did the word of God get produced? So you see, it doesn't matter, right? You're over there and it's like, right, and all this stuff. It doesn't matter what anything else happens. If scripture came forth, you are exposed to the truth. And what we pray for is for Holy Spirit, every time scripture is read, for Holy Spirit to pierce our hearts with what is true in that scripture. So if we look this morning, and we look at John 14:6, we see something that's true. 14:6, Jesus answered, Okay, let me back up to 5. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus answered, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And then in John 6, when Jesus does a hard teaching and people are leaving, and he looks at his disciples and he says, do you want to leave too? And in verse 6, or chapter 6, verse 68, Simon Peter answers him, Lord, where would we go? To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Where are we going to go? Where are we going to go? We've got to keep coming back to the words. Jesus is the truth. He says, I am the way, I am the truth. Jesus is the truth. We've got to hold on to Jesus. We've got to remember Jesus. We've got to remember everything that Jesus taught. We've got to hold on to his truth. Oh my goodness, the letters in red, the things that Jesus came out of Jesus' mouth, what he taught, what he said, what he spoke, what the Holy Spirit then inspired people like Paul, Peter, James, and John to write about who Jesus is and what he said. You know, I feel like there's a little echo in my sound here. So that for me is like, it's like, okay, church, remember that this is a place where truth is spoken. And continue to come back and be a part of the production and the proclamation of truth on the earth and repeat it. Now let's look at another scripture passage that is truth, and it's Hebrews 10. And it is Hebrews 10, 25. Let's go to 24. Oh, let's go back to 23. Okay, Hebrews 10, 23. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. And so here, God is actually telling us and giving us instruction on this very topic. He's saying, keep meeting together. Keep meeting together. Keep coming together. There's a reason we gather together. We can say, well, I can do fine with God by myself. It's like, but it's not about you. It's about what happens in the group, and it's what happens in the community. And there is no community if we don't make a community. And the only way we make a community is we show up. We show up to make community, so that we all can benefit by the encouragement that comes from the gathered people of God. Just yesterday, we gathered together from this church in the men's group. And we started talking about spiritual warfare and all the things that are going on because, you know, it's not a neutral territory out there. There is a demonic reality, and it's negative, and it's pushing against us all the time, and there are schemes of the devil that are... do you know that every one of you, the devil had a scheme to keep you from church this morning? Because he doesn't like you getting exposed to the truth. He doesn't like you feeling the Spirit in worship. And in every case of every person sitting in this room, his schemes failed. Because he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. And if we lean into God, if God rises up, the enemies scatter. Psalm 68:1. If God rises up, the enemies scatter. So we want to raise God up. I was just feeling that in worship this morning. I was feeling like, come on, come on. The name above every name, Jesus, Creator God, Yahweh. It's like, raise him up, man, raise him up. And I saw somebody with a flag, you know, and it was an adult with a flag up here, and I was like, come on, let God arise, you know. I didn't quite get up there myself, but, you know, it was like, yes, and it's like, let God arise so the enemies can scatter. And we talked as men, and we said to each other, you know, that these clouds can gather around us sometimes. Have you ever felt the clouds gathering around you? And we said, is there anybody here today that the clouds are gathering around? And one guy said, that's me. So we all got around him. You know, and just like, listen to this, you guys. One man, just one man. But there we were, and we all came around him for his sake. You know? Amen. And it was like, it's like, wow. That is what this passage, you know, this passage is pointing us to. And it's like, consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Don't give up meeting together. Don't give up your men's group. Don't give up your church services. Don't give up your church barbecue. Don't give these things up. But instead, let's encourage one another. Let's keep encouraging one another. Come on, Matthias, keep going, buddy. Come on, David, keep going, man. Keep running the race, Barb. Caleb, come on. Right? Let's do this. Let's get in. Let's cheer one another on. Why does the Bible tell us that we need to encourage one another? Because discouragement is a part of our walk in this fallen creation. We get discouraged. I mean, discouraged means courage is leaving us. Courage is leaving us. And we're supposed to encourage, we're supposed to infill one another with courage. Like, you can do this, Wanda. Right? You can do this, Wanda. We had an awesome prayer time with Wanda this last week. And again, doing what God has called us to do to keep each other going. I mean, we could stop right now. We could stop right now and say, is anybody really feeling discouraged and struggling? And is it, you know, are the clouds gathering around you? You probably wouldn't say, yes, that's me. But, you know, we could do that because we're small enough. We can do that. We're, you know, right? Anybody feeling discouraged? Clouds gathering around you? Well, I'll tell you what, if you are, come up after service and we will pray for you and we will breathe life of God into you and encourage you, because that's what the church does. But we got to show up to do that, right? All right, 1 Corinthians 12, 27. Now you are the body of Christ and each one of you is a part of it. There's another reason. There's a reason for church. 1 Peter 2:4, let's throw that in here with that into the mix. 1 Peter 2:4, as you come to Jesus, the living stone, rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We're being built into a spiritual house. We're like stones that are coming together to build this spiritual house for the sake of doing the work of God in the world. We are Christ's body. The church is here. The church is here. You know, if we shift a little bit away from ourselves, the church is here to be Jesus to the world. The world needs to see Jesus. The world needs to find Jesus. The world needs to experience Jesus. And we have been given giftings, each and one, every one of us, to bring them together so that we can be Jesus to the world. Like, somebody needs to walk into this room off the street, out of nowhere, and just walk in and say, I met Jesus in these people. Right? I met Jesus as they were singing worship. I met Jesus in the way that they loved one another. I met Jesus in this because they have come together as a body with gifts, and everybody's got different gifts. And it's like, I so enjoyed Glenn's gift today. Who, you know, right? Where's Glenn? There's Glenn. I so enjoyed Glenn's gift. I enjoyed Sue's gift. I enjoyed Karen's gift. I enjoyed Justice's gift. It's like they have gifts that they all brought together here today, didn't they? And I enjoyed Rosh and Courtney and Andrew and Kristen in the back using their gifts. I enjoyed the fact that I could say there's an echo and it disappeared. Wasn't that amazing? Yes, I couldn't make that happen myself. You know, and it's like, look at all the gifts we've been enjoying here today. And in a little bit, we're going to go outside and enjoy the gifts of David Tankersley, who's going to be barbecuing for us, right? Go, David. But how did the barbecue get there? How did the chairs get out there? Who put those tents up? Jimmy Lewis. He did it. I mean, that guy, honestly, you know, time out. Jim Simmons is just amazing. I mean, yes. He's not sitting in his usual spot out there. That Gibb's out there today. Hi, Gibb. Yeah, he's holding down Jim's spot because Jim's out there, right? But you tell him, Cindy Ann, you tell him that how much we appreciate him. And man, that guy just works and works and works and serves and serves and serves. He's so doggone dedicated. Honestly, okay, continue the timeout just for a moment. We went through with our staff, most all of them, and you know, I'm the only full-time staff. Everybody else is less than 20 hours, and you know, we just have a, but we do have people. And you guys, we went on a review, and they are so dedicated, so awesome, so after what Jesus wants, and so willing to serve all of you. And it's just, it was so incredibly inspiring and encouraging to me to see the people that God has gathered together to carry out the things that God wants to do here. It's been awesome. And you know, and I wasn't doing that by myself. Roberta Cruz was doing that with me. And it's like, well, why is Roberta involved in all of that? It's because Roberta gives her time to be involved in all of that and to be the chair of our pastor or our staff church relationship committee. And it's like, so there's another gift, right? They're just popping out all over the place. And who doesn't enjoy Kelsey's gift? Although the thing about Kelsey is now, you know, she left all of us wondering, where was Kelsey when she heard 76,000 people all together? Oh, we do? We all know that? I didn't know that. A Taylor Swift concert. Okay. All right, that's why she left it out. Mm-hmm. Okay. You were the one chosen few, 76,000. Yes. Yes. Okay, but your point was that's how much people were repeating just the words of a person.
Everyone knows their words.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. In comparison to, you know, repeating the words of our God and King. Wow. Wow. Well, I'm glad you had a good time. Yes. But I mean, when you hang something out there like that, you know, everyone's wondering, but we appreciate your gifts and what you bring to us, Kelsey, right? Yeah, amen. Yeah, that's good. And in Ephesians has this awesome thing about the church, you guys. Check this out. This is Ephesians 4. This is so cool. And it's about gifts that Jesus has given to the church. Jesus has given us these gifts. And the reason that he's given us these gifts, in 4:12, Jesus gives these gifts to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ, and that service to one another, just like we've been talking about, and its service to the world, so that may be built up until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Come on, you guys. If there's a God who is saying he wants us to reach a certain point, he created us. He's in charge of everything. We're accountable to him when we die. We will spend eternity with him if we do what he says we need to do. And this God is saying, I want to give you the whole measure, the whole bucket full of my fullness. I got a bucket full of my fullness. Who wants it? Marita does. Okay. She was first. So we're going to come and we're just going to, you know, because she said, I want it. And there you go. Okay, got it. But it's like, listen, you guys, when we read these things, should we just let that go and say, isn't that interesting? Or should we just kind of walk away from here saying, I wonder what that means? Or should we say, wait a minute, did somebody just say that there's a way to get the whole measure of the fullness of God? Did somebody just say that? And if that's true, then how do I do that? Then why would I just casually say, oh, okay, I wonder if that'll happen. No, don't wonder. This is too important. This is too precious. This is your eternity. This is life. And it's talking about getting it now. So all of these gifts, you guys, all these gifts we have, all these things we do that we help each other and bless each other with and build up this body so we can be Jesus to the world, so that we can proclaim the truth, that we can proclaim the truth and demonstrate the truth that we're proclaiming by the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh boy, where is that going to happen? Where are we going to do the demonstration part? Where are we going to do the demos, right? The guy with the vacuum doing the demo and, you know, and it's like, well, we're demos. We're producing demos for the kingdom to come. There's a kingdom coming. Okay, I'm ahead of myself. There's a kingdom coming. Just don't, hold on to that. So to be Jesus' body with the gifts that we have so that we can get the whole measure of the fullness of God. I want everyone. Oh, is it wrong for me to want every one of you to get everything that God has for you? You see, I struggle with that because, of course, I want that. But then I know there's things that actually would really, really bless you that are actually not fun to hear. Like, I really believe that sacrificial love that costs us, that actually costs us, I believe that sacrifice and cost will produce such incredible blessings and joy in your life. And yet, that isn't the most popular. I believe that humility and death to self is the key. Eesh, I don't know. You won't preach that too many Sundays before the... before you start wondering where all the gifts went. Where did everyone go? But you guys, could we just kind of like break through and just say, stop for a moment and say, okay, could we get real and say, but if there are things that are hard to hear yet end up being huge blessings, don't we then find ourselves in the same position of Jesus? Aren't we kind of like doing what Jesus, these are hard teachings, Jesus. Look at all the people who left you. He goes, well, are you going to go too? We could talk about giving money, but that's going to be, right? It's not going to be happy times in the church. What if I know that it's through giving and releasing things sacrificially that the greatest joy will come to you and the greatest blessings in eternity? And I don't tell you that because, right? Oh my goodness. We've got to find a way to do that. We've got to find a way for us all to see this passage and say, there's a way to get the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And instead of us all trying to find our own way of making our lives good, our own way of making our lives happy, and then we come to church as kind of an addition to that, to instead revolutionize that and say, let's make this first, and then everything else will be added unto us. That would be a good saying, wouldn't it? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be given to you. And so we start thinking, oh, we're starting to sound like Jesus. We're starting to sound like how Jesus talked, you know, because he wasn't all, all goodness and fun. And he said, there's hard stuff, but I've defeated all the hard stuff. So don't lose your joy. Oh, come on. Let's be everything that Jesus had in store for us and in mind for us, as he called us then to join him in fulfilling his mission. How crazy is that? That we get to help Jesus fulfill his mission. That the God who created all this stuff came to us and he had a mission to seek and save that which was lost, to set the captives free, to heal the brokenhearted. Come on, there is a mission. There is a mission on planet Earth. There is a thing on planet Earth. Planet Earth needs something. They need a search and rescue team. Planet Earth needs a search and rescue team because there's people out there and they don't know how to get connected to God. And if they die, they won't make it. We must continue to hold in the backdrop of everything we do, that there's a hell, and it's real. And the God who created everything came to us to reveal who he is and tell us what is true and that it's him. And he also said there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, because there will be people who miss it. We can't forget. We cannot forget that there's a mission on planet Earth that is taking place right now and every day, and this God who came amongst us was willing to be killed and crucified in order to fulfill that mission. And he's invited us to come along and proclaim it, right? He's invited us to come along and proclaim it, to bring good news, you guys, good news. Planet Earth has a king. Come on, let's go on that intersection and proclaim it. Planet Earth has a king. Let's go to Washington, D.C. and proclaim it. Planet Earth has a president, and it's not Biden or anyone else. Let's Because it's the gospel. He said, go out and proclaim the kingdom of God. What's the kingdom of God? There is a king, and he is coming to be resident here. He's going to set up his residence here. And he will be here in a physical being, in a physical temporal way. I mean, it will be physical. We will be able to know what's the location. What's the location of our king? When the new creation, when our resurrected bodies are all joined together in this new creation with our king in residence on this planet, in a renewed planet, we will be able to know, where is he? He exists in time and space. And we exist in time and space. And it's good news, you guys, because listen, we're not earning our way into this beautiful kingdom to come, this beautiful new creation, this life with our God in residence on the earth, the renewed earth. It's like, we're not earning our way into it. He earned our way. This is crazy stuff. Okay, so it's so good. It's just like you can't even, you know, right? I can't even tell you it's too good. But what I can do is I can demonstrate to you that he has authority. I can demonstrate to you that he has authority and what it's going to be like by moving in the miracles, signs, and wonders that God used to confirm his message when he was on the earth. And if Jesus needed his message confirmed, why would we not think we do or don't? Well, of course we do. And so we want to pray for people. We want to pray for people for healing. We want to pray for people to be set free. We want to be praying for people for miracles to happen, provisions to take place, just things of God all over the place, so people go, there is a God, and he's in control, he's in authority, in the midst of a broken and fallen reality, which is our world. And to say, but a better one is coming. A better one is coming. And this is what it's going to look like. Just believe in it. Grab hold of it. So that's what he's called us. That's what he's called us to be. That's why we're here together today, you guys. That's why we gather in churches. That's why we gather in communities, so that we can tell the world what the truth is, so we can save people from an eternal destiny of suffering and lostness and the absence of God. Oh, God, help us. That is the most awful. That is the most terrifying. There is no crisis. There is nothing more terror-producing than the thought of the absence of God forever. So we have an incredible mission to proclaim and demonstrate the kingdom of God. The earth has a king, and he's coming to take up residence, and you don't need to earn your way into that. He's done it by faith, by grace. Praise God. And so what he wants us to be doing then in John 10:10, he says to us, in fact, there's a lot in John that he says to us about what this is going to look like, and I want you to know, why are we here? Why do we gather? John 10:10, I have come, listen, I came into this world so that they can have life, all right? He wants us to have life that's real life, not like just longevity, but aliveness life, okay? And they can have it to the full. And then in John 15, he keeps going on this track, and he said, okay, I want the fullness of life. And in John 15, 5 and 8, okay, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. And this is to my Father's glory, in verse 8, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And in John 15, 11, and I'm telling you all these things so that your joy can be full, complete, filled up. He wants you to get the whole, man, just the fullness of joy. When we look at life, you guys, when we look at life, there are so many things we do in life. We grow up, we accomplish things, we feel joy when we participate in sports, or we meet the person that we're going to marry, or we get the job that we wanted, or we realize that we're going to be okay, or we get healing, or we go through life, and all of these things happen to us. But there's this level that Jesus is talking about that isn't about those things. There is a joy. There's a joy that's just a crazy joy. It's a crazy joy because it's like, why am I so happy about this? Why am I so happy? Why did this make me so happy? Why did I get so much joy from this? Where is this joy coming from? This joy doesn't feel like other kinds of joy. And that's the life abundant. That's the joy to the full. That's the producing. Like that's what he's after, and that's what he's digging out of us, and that's what he wants us all to. That's the whole measure of the fullness of God. It's this joy that's just like this. You know, let me say, if I lead someone to Christ, and it's like I feel a joy right now, Jesus. I feel like a joy that it just doesn't compare to anything else. I mean, I've had happiness and I've had many joys in my life, and they've been beautiful, they've been awesome. But this one's different. This one's different. And it's like he wants us to start just like that becomes what we go for, and that becomes what is normal for us. And all of these things are meant for us to have them now. So, you know, on Saturday when our men's ministry met and this one guy said, that's me, and we started praying for him, man, I'm just getting tears in my eyes, man. I'm serious. It's like, so one guy showed up here today and the whole room is just going to take care of him. Right? And it was like, this is right. When you're doing something that feels right, like right in the universe, not just right, you know, because I, you know, but right in the universe. It's like you feel a something that's just so, and it's like my appetite starts shifting, and my appetite starts shifting towards that. That's a new taste that I want more of. Okay? That's a new taste that I want more of. And so then, okay, I want you guys all to know this. Then all the men, because we're talking about spiritual warfare, we're talking about our children, because we're thinking, like, what are our children going to face? Right? If everything's going on like this, what are our children and our grandchildren? So we stood up, we held hands, and we prayed as men of God over the families of this church, God's protection, God's blood, God's hedge, God's covering, and we prayed and we said, we're taking authority and we're praying God's blessing right now over these families, the people in our church, our children and our children's children, and there are some that had children's children, and we just covered them all. You got covered yesterday. You all got covered. You all got blessed. Jesus was blessing you, and we were holding hands, which guys don't do that normally, right? It's like, okay, stretch a little bit here, guys. And we did it, and we did it, and it was like, this is right. This is right. This feels like the life. The life that gives me life, the life that encourages me, the life that gives me joy. And so then we do the trash pickup, right? So that doesn't seem like a big deal. Okay, what did we accomplish with that? We picked up some trash, okay? No. We went down Columbia Terrace down this way, and we're going down Columbia Terrace, and there's some people at the bus stop, and we stopped and talked. We spent time talking with them. We had a great conversation. We ended up praying for them. She ended up crying. She was in church last Sunday because she came, you know, because we invited her to church. And the whole thing was, why are you guys out here picking up trash? Like, what's up with that? You know, and we said, well, because we're from that church down there. And they said, there's a church down there? It's like, yes. Nobody knows that. But yeah, there's a church down there. And it's like, oh, that's cool. You know, so you guys came from the church to pick up trash in our neighborhood? Yeah. But we also came to be Jesus to the world. Amen. And to talk to you and to pray with you. And then we got down the street further, and we still didn't have all that much trash, but we had some. And then we saw this guy, and this guy is on his porch, and he's rehabbing this house, and we're talking to him. And he was going to come to church too, but he couldn't make it. And he and I are texting back and forth right now, and we're going to get together and have dinner or lunch or something. And it's like, God just sent us out. He just sent us out. But we wouldn't have been walking down that street in a way that could open up conversations unless we were picking up trash, because that's what opened the way. Because this guy was like, what are you guys doing picking up trash in my neighborhood, you know? So we did that, but because we're part of a church, because we're part of a community that's decided together that we're going to go do this thing, and we're going to let Holy Spirit, we prayed for Holy Spirit to lead and guide that. And so we go down the street under Holy Spirit's inspiration and covering. There was somebody, Melissa was here in the church praying for us. So she stayed in the church and was praying intercession over us. And somebody else had the idea. Somebody else got the stuff together, and we just walked it out. And there's God touching people and reaching people. Hallelujah. This is fun. I had fun. I want you guys to know I'm having fun. All right? I'm just having fun. I want you to know that. Thank you so much. Thanks for showing up so we can have a church so that I can have fun. But listen, we've been having, you know, prayer ministry. This has been cool. Prayer ministry, people have been getting better. Like, seriously, like, we haven't had anybody that we've prayed for who has just said flat out, oh, it's gone. The pain's gone. We haven't had that, okay? And we don't ever want you to say it's gone if it's not. Because we're trying to keep track of this. Like, when we pray for people and they say, no, nothing happened, okay, that's good to know. That's really important for us to know. We want to know that. So don't make us feel good, you know, by saying, oh, yeah, I think, you know. No, just say, no, nah, it's just not. And so that when you do get a touch and you do feel better, then we know it's real. So we've prayed for a lot of people here recently, and I can tell you that almost every single one of them has said it's gotten better. Okay? So now what do? We just keep going. Okay, that's good. That's good as far as it got. Let's keep going, and let's go back and say, well, let's get it better than better, and let's keep doing more, right? And let's just keep asking God. God, we don't know. It's not our power. It's not our righteousness, the Bible says. So if it's not my power, it's not my righteousness, then I just have to be the activator who just stops and says, okay, let's pray. Let's just do this, and God will do what God does. And we try to stay out of the way and let the Holy Spirit minister. But it's been really cool. So then the other day we were meeting here. Oh, EGS, we got feedback from EGS from last Saturday that somebody really said that the words that they got were really right on, and it was very encouraging. And then someone else shared Wednesday night at our little group that we have here that God sent her back to the grocery store for a reason that was kind of strange. And she got back there and she saw a person that she's been seeing and decided that was the person she had to pray for. So she needed to pray for her. So she went to go pray for her. And the person just broke down. Just, I've needed this so much. I've needed this so much. It's like God is just like gathers us together to scatter us out, right? He gathers us together, then he scatters out. And one guy said, well, he was sitting in a restaurant and he got something that he felt God was saying to the waitress. And so he actually wrote it down for her. He wrote it down. He said, you know, this is what I feel like God is saying. And so it's like it blessed her and touched her. So, you know, like this was from God. Another guy was in a restaurant and was saying, you know, talking to somebody about, well, it was Stephen, so it makes more sense this way, talking about Tent City and the people, the women that were coming out to go into Esther House and hoping that all of that's working. And he said for some reason he just felt like I'm supposed to tell the waitress. Well, it turns out the waitress was a drug addict who has been clean and just really needed to hear that, needed that connection, needed to make the connection to talk to people. And it was like, God's just doing that. You guys, God's just stirring stuff up. He's really moving. He's like, right? We're talking to people on the street. We're talking to waitresses in the restaurants. And it's all because there's a church where we gather in Jesus' name to ask Holy Spirit to inspire us and encourage one another. All of us who are doing this could have given up at some point. We could have just given up. But because we're all together in this, we keep encouraging one another and we keep staying the course and we keep doing the stuff. It's like, this is awesome. Somebody, we prayed for somebody Wednesday night, and again, they felt they were better. Where's my phone? And Randy and Mary and I have been praying for people during the week, and we've been just seeing really awesome stuff happening there. Now, listen to this. Listen to this. Hello, Katrine. You guys know Katrine? Yeah. This is an email that Katrine got after RFK camp. Now, RFK camp happens because there's a church here that Katrine came to and said, I think we should do this, right? I think we should do I think we should do this. So we start raising this money, and so we start doing this so that we can minister to the kids in the camp, the foster care system, right? And it's what a blessing that is. Come on. What a blessing that is. Hello, Katrine. I hope you're doing well. Laura and I were able to watch the video from last Sunday. This is from Alan Martinez, and he was one of the camp counselors. He was a coach, that's right. He wasn't a counselor, and that makes a difference in what happens here, right? Yeah, so he was a coach. He says, thanks for sharing it. Thanks to the camp, I have had a transformation. See, the coaches don't have the same level of requirement in terms of spirituality that, you know, that the counselors do, but so they got this guy in there from Colorado. He came from Colorado to be part of this camp. Isn't that crazy? I have had a transformation. I want to let you know that this morning I gave my life to Jesus Christ, and he has forgiven me of all my sins. Camp really did something to me. I thank you for providing me the opportunity to have the camp experience and for, listen, shining the light of Jesus onto me. Come on. Isn't that not awesome? You can clap. You can clap. God's good. I think there's a funny little part of this, too, because he references Nick Sparks, the cameraman. He said, I'd like to share my news with Nick, the cameraman. Can you give me his phone number? He told me, quote, we're going to change you before the end of this week. Close quotes. Go, Nick. Go, God. All because there's a church that gathers. Right, guys? All because there's a church that gathers and then scatters and then goes out. And when somebody gets an idea like Katrine, and she has a place to bring it. Okay? She has a place to bring it so that we can be the springboard for that to take place. And now people from other churches and other places are getting blessed by that. And God is doing things. Stephen, we had a young lady who came out of Tent City and got into Esther House. And Stephen, on his online Extraordinary Solitude, asked people to come along and minister. And she is getting letters from all over the United States. And she's getting stuff from all over the United States. And it's just revolutionizing her. She never thought that was possible. And God is just super blessing her. And then Esther House said, well, it's kind of feels a little unfair for just one lady to be getting all this stuff and like food and, you know, extra stuff that's coming in. And so, you know, Stephen, we're not sure we should be doing that, you know. Stephen, like, well, how many ladies are there? Oh, you know, there's six in this program, this 9-month program. He said, well, then we'll take them all.
Praise the Lord.
Right? Yeah, well, we'll just do them all. And so, you know, God is just like bringing people together so that together we can do things that are just testimonies to Jesus and his kingdom in the world. And you guys, this is just fun. It's joyful. It's good. And I think the hamburgers are ready. So, Father, we just want to ask you to just bless the church, God. Bless our church. Would you guys all pray that? Bless our church, Jesus. Bless every church, every church, every church, every Jesus community. We're a Jesus community. We're trying to be the Jesus body that you need for us to be. We want to see you move in people's lives. We want to encourage one another and keep each other going. We want to love one another. We want to model Jesus in our midst. We want to be Jesus to each other. We want to be Jesus to the world. We want to see you, God, using us for great and mighty and wonderful and beautiful things. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Bless us. Holy Spirit, come and shape us and form us. Increase your presence among us, Holy Spirit, so that we can demonstrate the good news that we're proclaiming, that earth has a king and he's going to be in residence and he's asking us to invest in heavenly treasures. Thank you, God.